Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Cheryl Duncan with International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Show. This, of course, is Father's Day weekend, and today we're going to have an opportunity to speak with several men who are masterminders. I believe our guest today is definitely Mr. Chad Jackson, Michael, and Adrian Friedman will be joining us. We may also have some surprise visits from a few of our callers. So, good morning, Chad.
Good morning.
I'd like to check to also see if Adrian Friedman is on the line. Can we do that? Sharon, can we check that? Hello, and on the line we also have callers 786-975. Who might that be?
Very good commercial.
Okay. Let's go to a commercial.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association.
Sharon?
We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com. /masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on to our Facebook account.
I'm using my wireless in my computer.
Oh, I thought you were asking about getting on mine.
I'm getting on your computer, not your wireless.
Oh, right there beside you then.
What's your wireless? Which one is yours?
J-Flash.
Okay.
You're on the radio.
We're on the radio. Good morning. Sounds like Chad.
Good morning. Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Good morning.
Good morning. So let me start by saying Happy Father's Day to you. Today will be our Father's Day show, so that makes you the official first guest. We've never done a Father's Day show before, so I'm excited to have you because I know your commitment to your family. So how do you, as a masterminder, include being a better father in your design of masterminding?
I think that's a wonderful question. First, let me say thank you to IMA for even having me on this morning. I am actually out at a college tour taking some kids up to Georgia. We actually are in Georgia right now. And we are heading to the Dr. Martin Luther King Museum earlier this morning. And to tie that in with, you know, Father's Day and everything, Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, is that as a mentor and as a father and as a role model, I mean, just by biblical design alone, I'm designed to be the head of the household or to be the leader of my family. Even if you look at it by the world's standards, I suppose, you know, my job is to be somebody that stands there for the family, knows what to do. I have to be confident. I have to be aware. I have to be educated. And I think that's where IMA plays a big part with what I do as an individual and as a man. They help me to kind of put everything in perspective and help me to kind of gear the same effort and the same intensity and energy towards each and every stage in each and every area of my life. So with, you know, with IMA and with being a man or being a father, it kind of fits perfectly because it helps me to structure my day-to-day life. And then it also helps me to filter that instruction down to my kids as well which, you know, after time goes on, they begin to adopt that as a part of their character and their personality. Same thing with me so far with masterminding. So I try my best to get my kids to write things down when they come up with ideas or songs or things of that nature. I try to get them to understand what it's going to cost them and to actually make these dreams a reality. Because, you know, kids, they have a very wide imagination. They see life in many different spectrums than we do, and they begin to gravitate to those dreams or imaginations that they have, and which is not a bad thing. After reading The Think and Grow Rich, we know that imagination is a good thing, so it's my job as a father to kind of cultivate that. And right now we can't say what the end results are, but I know that they're going to become better people even than myself by tying in the international mastermind and masterminding as a whole.
And I applaud you for the work that you're doing. We've had this conversation before, as you know.
Yes.
People
yes, ma'am.
In general spend more time planning a wedding, a party, and a vacation more than mm-hmm. they work on planning their lives. So here you are, a master planner who have reached great things in life. Not only are you a father to your children, but then you are a father to masses of children. When
yes,
you were speaking,
right,
I began to think of the fact that today we have more new millionaires in this decade than we have had in several decades. And that massive number of new millionaires are people who are 25 or less years old.
Wow.
So in the groups of people and the groups of young people that you're working with, you're teaching them to plan and set goals.
Yes.
Tell us how that's working.
Well, ever since I have myself gotten integrated into the International Mastermind Association as a whole, I began to see life in a different light and to understand that dreams can come true if you work towards them and if you don't let people kill your dreams. And those are the two things that I found very valuable as a youth, that, you know, that when you're at that age, it's kind of hard to know your purpose and know where you're going, know what you need to be doing, and to then put forth the maximum effort to reach those goals. Could be kind of hard without the right direction and the right tools, but through IMA, I was provided with a set of tools through our workbook, and through the Think and Grow Rich, I was provided with these tools that enabled me to overcome some of the things that were holding me back in those areas as far as becoming successful or accomplishing just some of the minor smaller goals in my life. So as I began to use those tools on my own, I realized that they could not only be helpful to me, but definitely helpful to the people who I come in contact with on a daily basis, i.e. my family, the kids I work with, even my coworkers. It could be very valuable to them if they want to put everything that we do into practice. And that, I found that to be a part of the challenge. Putting everything into practice. But one of the things that I learned from IMA is personal development and self-improvement. A lot of times we have to push ourselves to that next level, to that next degree, in order for us to shine like we're supposed to shine, to be that person that we're supposed to be, or to be able to accomplish some of these goals. We have to take it up to that next level and push ourselves and have some time with ourselves working on these things, working through these problems. And just by IMA alone, just by writing down the vision and making it plain, we're able to look at those goals, see where they are, head towards them, and then everything that comes in the way to probably stop the goals, those negative things we're able to overcome because we can mark them down, we can see where they are, and we can also make a plan to overcome those obstacles that come up. And I found that as I began to share some of these words with the kids and began to just incorporate it into our day-to-day conversation. Like, have you planned for this? Do you know what you want to do in the next 5 or 10 years? Those type of questions kind to, you know, try to get them to think in a different way and perceive their situation in a different manner. I believe that it has helped out a lot already, but I could definitely see in the future it producing something even greater.
I'm sure you're right. You touched on something that just really sparked in me. This month we're working from the chapter, The Power of the Mastermind, The 9 Steps to Riches, The Driving mm-hmm. Force. You talked about dream killers.
Yeah.
I have heard, being an educator for a number of years, I've heard parents say some very debilitating things to children. And
yes,
I don't know if they understand the power of the spoken word. Can you address that for a moment?
Well, I'm glad you bring that up, because another thing that I was, you know, as last night as I was going over some of the things that I wanted to bring out today, one of the most important things that I wrote down that I think that IMA brings to the table is the affirmation, because the affirmation, I feel, is a counteract to those type of situations when people are putting you down, telling you you can't do it, telling you you're not good enough, because people get their own perception of who you are, and then they begin to label you. And if you receive that from them, which they are saying, then you also put yourself in a situation to accomplish those goals of being whatever they named you as. But affirmation, what that does is it takes the place of that, because affirmation tells you who you are, as an individual, where you're going, and it speaks about those positive things and those positive directions where you want to take yourself, and it helps you to kind of stay focused. The power of a spoken word, if you look at it spiritually, you know, we speak things into the atmosphere, and we open up different realms and different doors of possibilities by the things that we say out of our mouths. But if you look at it physically, like it speaks about in the book, as we begin to say these things, they become almost like an auto-suggestion, but in a negative sense. And they begin to come to us whenever we feel like we can't accomplish something, whenever we feel like we can't do something. We remember or we recall what our parents said or what our teacher said or what the classmate sitting next to me said about me. And we begin to believe that instead of believing, you know, who we're really supposed to be. So I feel that the spoken word plays a big part of who the individual becomes, but there is also a role that the individual can play in that themselves by reminding themselves who they are, where they want to be, what type of person that is inside of them, and to bring that out through a form of affirmation or just constantly dwelling on it in your mind, letting yourself know that no matter what comes or no matter what somebody says, I can do this. I can accomplish these goals.
Excellent. Listening audience, this weekend being Father's Day, we're focusing on fathers and the importance of being a father who masterminds. Chad spoke of being the head of the house, the priest in his home, and how that's more productive because of his ability to mastermind. And fortunately, he masterminds with the International Mastermind Association. For the listening audience, please feel free to call in the number 661-554-9219. Chad.
Yes.
In this particular chapter on the power of the mastermind, it talks about one battery being able to produce a certain amount of energy, but a pack of batteries or multiple batteries being able to even generate more energy. Now, in all of your years, I know you've had many of people, men that you've connected to, one in particular, but tell us a little something about the need to fire friends.
The need to fire friends. Wow. That is, I believe that kind of comes under the same thing we kind of talked about with the negative speaking. because it kind of covers mm-hmm. that too.
It does.
Because, you know, if you have the wrong people around you, you still have to face reality that you're not going to achieve the goals that you need to achieve with the wrong people around you. I look at it in the terms of sports all the time, because if you have the right team, you can produce even against all odds. But if you got a team that's not on the same page, miscommunication, backbiting, backstabbing, all of that stuff, you're not going to be a functioning team. And as a father and having the role of a father, all the time I have to fire teammates, because if I have a friend that's there and they're not producing, or they're not bringing the right atmosphere to my family, they're not bringing the right atmosphere to my home, I have to then fire them as a friend, and then make sure that I don't go back to that situation. So I have to be firm in my convictions. I have to make sure that I understand completely what it means and the trouble that it could cause. Because simply put, that person or that individual could lead you in the wrong direction. That could lead you outside of your plans, outside of your purpose, and just leave you in a situation to where it's hard to recover from. And I see a lot that don't recover from their situations with their friends, you know, their relationships with their friends. So it's very important that we learn who we need to have in our circles. And even if you don't understand that it's very hard to completely separate yourself from some people, because friends may be family members, some friends may be coworkers or whatever the case, but you can limit your amount of interaction, or you can change the interaction that you have with that individual. For the most part, I found if you change your interaction with that individual will most likely change, and their attitudes or their behaviors towards you will actually change. So that's one of the things that, for the most part, that I try to focus on when it comes to firing a friend, because we all have to know what we need to do in order to grow. And it definitely begins with the type of circle or the type of people that we hang around or
Wonderful.
Associate with.
Exactly. Have you given that the tool of firing friends to the young people that you work with? I had a situation just last night where a young man was giving a graduation speech, and he talked about how he was first introduced to drugs by his friend, the friend that they learned to ride bikes together, and they skated together, and they went to all of their baseball games together. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, how many parents are trusting their child with the person they grew up with because that person's a friend? And I think that if we can give children the power to learn to mastermind and to connect them with mastermind groups so that they're surrounding themselves with people who are positive and people who are of like minds, I think that we're going to see more productivity out of our children, possibly even giving them the opportunities to become one of the self-made millionaires that we're seeing so many of in our days. So are you passing that concept of firing friends along to the young people that you're working with?
First, I agree with what you just said, and yes, I am. I believe that as adults we do it quite often. It's all in the delivery. Because even I remember growing up, and I would have probably the wrong person around sometimes, or friends that I know my parents may not approve of. It was always in how they brought it to me that made the situation the difference. Growing up, I heard it a lot, you shouldn't hang around the wrong people, because me, myself, personally, I grew up in church, so I heard that a lot. You know, you don't hang around the wrong people, don't hang around the wrong crowd. And some of my friends, I'm pretty sure they heard it. It was TV shows about it and all. So a lot of people know, but it's just in how that particular phrase is delivered. Because once you become friends with somebody, the power of a friend is like unimaginable. You begin to bond with that person. You begin to try to have that person look at you in a different way. You want that person to look at you as a good person, somebody fun, somebody to hang around. And when I talk to the kids, you know, that's most of their involvement. They just want to be accepted. They want to have fun. Mm. And in the middle of doing that, we have to know how to have fun and what to do. And so for the kids, I always...
And the price of having that fun.
Yeah, and the price of having that fun, because there's a cost attached to everything. And I try, you know, to communicate it to them as best possible without bashing their friends or telling them straight up, don't hang around this person. Try to get them to understand that even if, like I just said earlier, even if you don't completely cut that person off, begin to limit your interactions with that person, or begin to change the type of interactions you have with that individual. And one of the main things that I see the kids doing nowadays, when it comes to that, that we're so connected socially through social media, on top of the normal, you know, telephone conversations and text messages, that we constantly run into each other throughout the day, or we constantly hear from each other throughout the day, and those type of situations kind of impact us in our decision making. And try to get the kids to understand that if you have a goal, if you have a plan, if you have a purpose, don't forget to follow your plan, don't forget to follow your purpose, and don't forget to accomplish your goals. And if there's anybody, or for any reason, you see yourself not doing that, then you have to reevaluate where you are, the people who you're around, and then begin to work from there to kind of change the situation.
I need to put you on hold just a minute. You're on a roll. I like where we are. But
okay. We
must go to a commercial.
Okay.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
And we're back. Again, those of you who are interested in calling in, that number is 661-554-9219. And we look forward to having you join us. Happy Father's Day to our listening audience. Happy Father's Day to those mothers who are also fathers.
Happy Father's
Talking Day. talking about masterminding, and the importance of masterminding in regards to leading your families, and in Chad's case, leading the young people that you are the surrogate father of. You touched on social media.
Mm-hmm.
When we read the book Think and Grow Rich, social media, of course, did not exist in that time. But we can use social media for many of things. Can we use social media with masterminding and reaching out to like-minded people? How would that look on social media, Chad?
Well, reaching out to like-minded people, I believe that's something that we do without even thinking about it, because we like to associate ourselves with friends that make us feel good and people that are into some of the same things that we are. So we naturally try to connect on that on a like-minded basis, but it's mostly that. Go ahead.
Go on.
Okay, yeah, it's mostly what we see when we first meet that individual. We also have to remember that when we first meet an individual, that not everybody is being completely 100% truthful with who they are,
mm-hmm.
and everybody hasn't
mm-hmm.
finished growing. Yeah, everybody still has a lot of more growing to do in life. As long as you live, there's still opportunity for you to grow and mature in some of the things that we do. So when it comes to that, I try to all the time to use social media as a tool for good, because I believe that that in life things can either be used in a negative way or in a positive way. Just like if you think about the purpose of a gate to either protect or to, you know, to keep people safe within or to keep people from coming in to a property that doesn't belong to them. It has a two-sided or a twofold job. And the same thing with social media.
Can I pause?
Go ahead.
I pause there for a moment? We've got a person that's been waiting to jump into this conversation.
Okay.
Caller, are you there? Oh, boy. I think we just kind of didn't include that caller. Call if you'd like to, call back. I promise you we'll get you on. Go on, Chad.
Yes. Yes. So with the social media, and I think today we just need to use it for the right reasons or for positive reasons. I don't want to say the right reasons because everybody has their own intent. So if we can use it for the right reasons, I believe that especially with the way that the youth and that the way that the world is going as far as connecting on many different levels, whether it be through telephone, internet, or other opportunities, that we're becoming more connected altogether. But that connection comes with a price, like we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Either there's going to be people pushing positive things across the internet and across the airwaves and across the telephone, or it's going to be people pushing negative things. And in this day-to-day battle that we face, I try to find myself on the positive side of that by making sure that we only push the positive things, and I try to teach the youth that as well. Somebody comes to you with a negative situation, you don't always have to respond negatively. So you can always try to make sure that you take the right response in that situation. And dealing with social media, you see a lot of people lashing out online, saying things online, doing things that they want to do with their own life, but the pain or the trouble that it caused to other individuals that are just sitting there that are the bystanders is the main problem. Because if I'm a kid and I'm on online and I'm hearing stuff about hate crimes, or I'm a kid and I'm online and I'm seeing stuff about school shootings, or if I'm a child and I'm seeing these things about sexual abuse, these type of things would kind of begin to shape my mind on this world and the type of things that happen in this world. And then it also would have a negative impact on me because now, you know, I start handling myself or treating myself according to what I know. So these are the type of things where social media could either play a major role in the victory for smart individual youth and strong families, or it could play a detriment to strong families and the youth as well.
Wonderful. I mentioned that because we have virtual mastermind groups, people who live in different cities, but yet they come together to form a mastermind group. Glad you mentioned the youth in giving us feedback on that particular question, because July 20th, from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m., we're having the International Mastermind Association mid-year event. And at that event, we learn how to mastermind, number one. Number two, we report on the accomplishments that we've had from January until June. But this particular conference, we're focusing on inviting young people into that conference, and we're also looking for people to sponsor some of the youth as well. So someone in the listening audience or listening audience members, if you're interested in attending our mastermind event, please go to internationalmasterminders.com and check out our upcoming event. In addition to that, if you're interested in making a donation so that a young person can attend this mastermind event, feel free to contact us as well. So, Chad, there you are, masterminding.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you tell us how you formed the mastermind group. How did you connect with the people that you mastermind with? If I'm listening to this show, I know I need to do something different. This sounds like what I need to do. It sounds like I need to surround myself with positive people, come up with a plan of action, and really take charge of my life instead of letting life take charge of me. How would I begin to identify members to be in my mastermind circle?
Well, I would say this, that if you're listening right now and you're feeling like you want to do something different in your life, you have, as an individual, you have tried many different things, or even if you feel you have tried everything, try IMA, IMA, the International Mastermind Association. Because when I came into contact with the International Mastermind Association, I wouldn't want to say it was a mistake, but I was coming to an event, and it ended up being a youth IMA meeting. And right after the presentation from the guest speaker, you know, the instructors from IMA was there, and they kind of broke down what it was to mastermind and what it means to kind of fulfill your dreams and fulfill your goals, because the speaker was talking about purpose, and to come behind him with a powerful presentation that the International Masterminds came with, it helped me to understand that it's no such thing as a dream that can't be accomplished. You have to map things out. You have to plan tremendously. You have to make sure that you understand the ins and outs of the situation that you've been involved with. And then you have to have those like-minded individuals and those people that are there to encourage you, the people that are there for the accountability. All of that plays a major role in what we do as masterminding. To have a team there for their resources, or to have a team of like-minded individual partners, like I call them, there to support, to check up on you, to kind of nudge you a little bit when you're slacking off. Those type of things become major parts and major components to success when you look at it, because no one person can do it all by themselves. So you're going to need a team of people that can help you. And that was one of the most important things that I learned from that particular session, is that not only am I going to be working towards my dreams, everybody else in my group is going to be helping me work towards the goals that I'm trying to accomplish, and likewise, I'm helping them, which also strengthens our bond as friends or as colleagues or whatever the case may be, and it also helps the bond of camaraderie and the bond of the organization altogether. Even the organization plays a part in accountability, like you just mentioned about the thing that we're doing with the youth. We always have a mid-year come together and sit down and talk about some of the things that we did throughout the year, our mid-year accomplishments, where did we get so far, our mid-year reports. And those type of things, I think, play a major role in who we become. And as I continue this role of International Mastermind, I began to see these doors that I thought would never open. I began to see them open up. And if you're there at home, or you're on the phone and you're listening or even considering it, I would say go to the website, go to the Facebook page, check it out, and then try to get involved. See what IMA is talking about. It's all about being connected. Once I got connected with the organization, and I began to get my materials, my workbook, the Think and Grow Rich, I felt unstoppable. That Think and Grow Rich is a very powerful book. The IMA workbook is a very powerful book. Those two combined is a very powerful program for me accomplishing my goals. So that was, in a nutshell, that's pretty much how it works with connecting with those like-minded individuals, because IMA is all about people trying to accomplish goals, all about people trying to be successful, all about people trying to make this place a better place for all of us, as far as making sure we succeed, we live a happy, healthy life. We mastermind the 10 areas of life. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're going to play a commercial for you in a minute, but each and every area of life that we mastermind in is beneficial to us mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Wonderful. Looking at the chapter on the power of masterminding, it says, there is little, if any, doubt that Henry Ford was one of the best informed leaders in the business and industrial world at his time. In fact, we still drive around in Ford products today. It doesn't say that. I said that. Anyway, individuals take on the nature and the habits of the power of thought of those with whom they associate in the spirit of sympathy and harmony.
Mm-hmm.
It says that Henry Ford whipped poverty, literacy, and ignorance by aligning himself with great minds whose vibrations of thoughts he absorbed in his mind. There's a tape that I listened to where you actually hear Napoleon Hill saying that Henry Ford was an idiot, but that because of the power of the friends he connected with,
mm-hmm.
We still talk of Henry Ford today and his successes. Sometimes we just don't have the tools that we need. But
right.
when we connect ourselves with the people who have the tools, people who are willing to share, and people mm-hmm. who are willing to connect us with people that they're connected with, we can
right.
accomplish so much more. This is a setup, if I've ever heard one, for a commercial. Let's pause for a commercial break.
All right.
You are listening. For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002.
Hello.
That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Okay. Hello, hello, wherever you are. Am I back?
Hey. Yeah, you're back.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
Now, again, listening audience, that number to call is 661-554-9219, and you must press 1 to join into our calls. I see we've got multiple callers on the line, and we're excited about those of you who are listening by phone, those of you who are listening through the internet, and those of you who will listen this at our recording at a later date. Wow. Chad.
Yes.
Happy Father's Day to you. Again, happy Father's Day to
you.
The listening audience. Chad, when you decided to be a father, what was the thought process that came with charting the life of a person that God has entrusted in your care?
Wow. That right there is a question that I've been thinking about all week, because I've been testifying to people all week about kids and having kids and what it means to actually be a parent. I believe that a lot of people don't really consider what it means to be a parent when they try to have kids, or they're thinking about kids, or they do things that may end up or result in having children. These type of things we have to take into consideration, because it is a life. It is a human being that we're bringing to this world. And then we also have to make sure that that human being is going to be able to do the same thing that we did, live up into our our later years. And if we want them to grow up and to make it to their later years, that means we have to provide them with the right protection, the right wisdom, the right surroundings, the right opportunities. And that's our job as parents. It's our job to make sure that they're not watching bad things on TV. We can't blame the TV for being on. It's our job. We can't blame the teachers in the school, because God has entrusted us with the responsibility of training up our kids in the way that they should go. So knowing all of that, coming into the and to having a child, having my first child, which was my daughter, and when my wife explained to me that she was pregnant and we were having a baby, which was something that I wanted for a while, and to hear that, it was like a game changer for me, because I realized that even though I was at a young age, I had to then begin to start reevaluating my situation. Would I let my daughter stand here right next to me while I'm talking to these guys? Would I let my daughter see me doing this with this with these people over here? Would I want my daughter to find out about this and that and the other? Or, you know, what type of life do I want to have for them? Because even though they can do nothing about their parents can do something about themselves. And I wouldn't want my child to be in a situation where they're getting picked on, getting bullied and all of that stuff because of something that the parents have done. So, and I was thinking about all that stuff, even though as a younger person, I tried to take all that into consideration, because I told myself when I was a kid that even when I grow up, I want to be the right type of parent. I want to, you know, of course I want to have fun, of course I want to discipline, but I have to find a balance between the two. And one of the main things that helped me to find that balance was the next decision that I made. The next decision that I made was to begin to start going to church and start reevaluating my life as an individual and start living up to the principles outlined in the Word of God. And I did that so that I could give my family and definitely my children a platform that they can use in order to prosper in life, to grow in life, to just have an overall better life. Even if you don't believe in religion or you don't believe in God in that sense, as you read the Bible, it still gives you principles that you can live your life by. It still gives you hard evidence of doing one action and receiving the next and the result. So, you know, those type of principles I sought to do. Even though I wasn't 100% in my faith, I started moving and working towards that area of my life. And as I continued to do that, I got stronger in my convictions. I became more conscious of the things that I was doing as an individual. So therefore, it would make me a better parent. And by doing those things, I became who I am today, which two weekends from now, I will be being ordained as a deacon at my church. So I went all the way from the bottom all the way to now having a chance to be in ministry myself. As I heard a couple of other IMA members from recent weeks, some pastors, some other preachers and stuff like that we have in our organization. But God was able to bless me throughout that situation. And I seen, because of that situation, because I decided to make that choice as a parent, I seen a turnaround not only in my life, but I also see my kids being geared towards that. My kids can't miss a day out of church. They love going to worship and not putting all the focus on my religion, but just putting it on how important the father is and how important the leader or the head of the household is to guiding your kids or guiding, leading them towards the right way. Even with me in this organization that I'm in right now, where I'm having this field trip today, that even with this, I have to recognize that it's my job to lead. Even if nobody else wants to lead, I still have to have that mindset and that determination to lead and lead in the right way. And that's one of the main things that I think parents don't often consider, that, you know, you do have to basically give up a lot of your stuff for your kids. And that doesn't mean just physical things, but that means attitudes, that means your perspective on certain things. I can't raise a child up and to hate another race and then expect for them to succeed in life. So these type of things I took into consideration before I became a parent, which served a great purpose because I have two beautiful kids that make great grades, always respectful, always getting compliments from them, compliments on them from other people. So that type of stuff, at the end of the day, it's worth the sacrifice that you make as a parent. So I kind of feel that those are the things that that kind of geared me towards setting myself up to where I can be where I am today, getting involved with the International Masterminds and other organizations that would allow me to advance myself in personal development.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. We also have some other fathers on the line that would like to join in.
Okay.
Who do we have?
Hey, how you doing? This is Rufus Curry Jr., the only one you'll ever meet.
How you doing?
Hey,
there.
Hey, I'm doing well, man. You know, this is awesome to be able to come together on the day, you know, leading up to Father's Day. You talk about the importance of that masculine presence in a child's life. And, you know, we look at today and how they are during the day. Well, they try to downplay, you know, people going out having babies or what have you. And it's like, you know, I'm going down to the store, I'm going to buy me a doll. But raising a child is not like that because, you know, yes, it can be done. You know, my dad died when I was 4 years, 4 months, and 14 days old. My mother never remarried, and she focused all of her energy into my sister and I. But even in that, and the lack of balance, as okay as I like to think I am, sometimes I still have some issues. I have a son and a daughter, and I know the importance of that. That's why they look at me like, why is this guy standing next close to me? Because I know that it's important for me to be there and to help strike that balance, because my daughter needs to know some things from my perspective, and my son needs to know things from my perspective as well. And yeah, the role that I play in front of the house over the family, the household, and the whole nine yards. So that these things are important. So I have to be there in order to go ahead and have these things done. So I am... I have to be in place. And what you were saying, right, Vaughn, about how when you become a parent, I hear people all tell us, I'm going to have some kids. They ain't going to change my life. Look, if you bring a puppy into your house, it changes your life. That's
yep,
why I ain't
yep.
got no puppy in my house. Look at my son. Hey, he can button his shirt, and he can dress himself. If need be, I can give him a couple dollars. He can go down to the barbershop and he can get his hair cut. You know, he's 13 going on 39. I'm good because eventually he'll be 25, you know.
And one of the things that we really want to focus on here on this Father's Day weekend, talking with these fathers, the focus is being a father who masterminds. When Chad was talking, I remember that my mother used to devour books, and as a result of that, out of six children, four of them being guys, we are all readers because of that. So for some years now, Rufus, I know your children have seen you have great successes from being an author, from owning your own company, great successes that have come out of masterminding. So with the examples that you're setting before them, how much greater do you expect them to be based on the things that you've put into them?
You're absolutely right to talk about the mastermind piece, and even how my wife and I, we mastermind together. We how we plan and how we work together and strategize and hold our yards. So there's an expectation, you know, my daughter, when she, because I believe this, that as a man, you are, you send signals. My objective on a daily basis as I mastermind with my wife is to be the man that my daughter desires to be with and to be the man that my son desires to be. But my mantra to each of them is,
hello,
you will be better than me. You will be better than me. You must be better than me. You will be better than me. and what have you. So the masterminding is a huge influence, because what it has to do is essentially it's a way of you giving directions and giving guidance without even speaking. You're living your creed. You're living the example, the embodiment, the mastermind. My son loves to read because I read all the time. And my daughter likes to read, likes a reader or an intelligent guy, because, you know, my wife says, oh, I think that he looks sexy when he reads. I think what it is that she likes the fact that I'm not bothering her. I'm actually engrossing something else. She can get what she wants to get done, but that's fine. So my daughter likes a guy who likes to learn in the whole nine yards. And my son, we share books right now. He's 13. He'll read something. I mean, some of that stuff I don't really want to read, but he says, Dad, I want you to read this book. So I'm on it. I jump on it. I'm reading the Bluefoot series, and I'll throw something at him back and forth, because that's what I want to do. I'm masterminding not only to improve myself, but I'm masterminding to get my children to be way, way above me.
And that is more than worth $1 million. I believe Adrian Freeman is with us. Adrian, would you like to jump in this conversation before I
run down? Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning. So you're also a father that masterminds.
He is a father that masterminds his life and also tries to mastermind everybody else's life, too, from time to time.
is that true, Rufus?
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, because here's the thing. You know, an agent and my brother, all my brothers, all my hairy-chested masterminders.
Hello.
The thing is this. There's no way in the world that you – okay. There's no way in the world that you can know that something is good and you hold it to yourself. You know, I tell people the greatest mistake you make is telling me that you're interested in something, two, you're trying to do something. Okay, I take that into my brain and I understand it. So now, any time that I hear of something that can be of benefit to you, I want to make sure that you know that. Because I think that's the least that I can do.
Right.
Because if I build a house on a hill and I don't have any good neighbors, it's partially my fault. I didn't have to build your house, but all I had to do was tell you where to get the bricks, where to get some wood, where to get some cement, where to get some roofing tiles or what have you like that. And why would I know something is good to you and not give it to you?
Well, let's pause there. Because being that we're looking at Father's Day and we've got people who are listening who know fathers who are not masterminding, why not give the gift of masterminding? Not just the Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich book, but let's give an IMA membership to connect those fathers with some more fathers who's kicking butt. I was at an event last night and I saw Adrian Freeman, who is dynamic, go to a completely different level. He blew us out of the water.
Wow.
And I remember Adrian Freeman who said, I remember the Adrian Freeman who only had that as a goal. And now here it is, a reality, and traveling and speaking and doing his thing.
Wow. Thank you, Cheryl. I appreciate that. I told Cheryl several times now that I really should take her on the road, because no one can introduce me like Cheryl Duncan can. So I need to take you with me. But last night was great, you know, and all of that, you know, and all the things that you see, you know, if we're connected or you follow me, really, really is a result of masterminding my life. I am at 95 pounds lost now, and I will lose these next 5 pounds in the next 5 days. And, you know, because it's all around, it's about masterminding and setting goals and simply put, just doing the things you say you're going to do. You know, you don't necessarily win every day, but if you keep waking up and you continue moving in that direction, you'll always have more wins than you will lessons. So, you know, that's what it is. That's why the masterminding principle is so powerful, because it keeps you active and it keeps you in tune to moving your life in a positive direction. And just a quick story, I know we're down to just a couple minutes in the show. You know, all of you know that I've really been on a quest to health and fitness. And I think it was Rufus said, and then one of the other gentlemen talked about leading your families. And I have two daughters, but I also mentor a group of kids, and was in Orlando just this week doing a college tour, and while the kids were in the pool playing, I was in the fitness center in the hotel running on the treadmill doing my workout, and I look up, and all of my students are at the door of the fitness center and came in and exercised with me, and it was just so powerful in that moment. Because they were on vacation, you know, so I wasn't hounding them about, you know, you guys need to come work out or you need to exercise. They were in the pool enjoying themselves, which was okay with me. But once they saw that I was exercising, they came to exercise. And it's just a simple principle that, you know, as a man, as a father, you know, if we lead our families and we lead those who are around us, they will get in alignment and they will follow. But you have to lead them in the right way. And it doesn't happen instantaneously, and it doesn't always happen overnight. But if you're consistent and you stay the course, you'll see the changes happen.
Let me pause and say I didn't not hear you, but let me commend you on taking off 90 pounds of death in exchange for a wonderful life. 95 pounds. Well, let me commend you for taking off 95 pounds of death in exchange for a healthy life. God bless you. God bless
you. Thank you,
Cheryl. Well, you know, we need to have Father's Day more often because I don't recall the last time I was on a radio and heard men talking about mastering their lives and their master plans for their families. Boy, if I could come back again, I would seriously consider being a child of Chad, Rufus, and Adrian. So as we prepare to close out this show, gosh, I'm going to remind our listening audience that July 20th, Boca Raton, Embassy Suite Hotel, 8 to 3 p.m., is the place to be, and if you can't be there, maybe you're out of the city or out of the country, please feel free to sponsor a youth. Guys?
Yes.
Any parting words?
I would say just keep your dreams and your goals close to your heart and remember to work towards them with all diligence.
Good stuff. Stay focused.
Rufus?
Stay focused on the plan.
Have a plan, number one, and stay focused on the plan. Okay, Rufus? Rufus is speechless or Rufus is gone?
Yeah, he's probably on mute.
Rufus is never speechless.
Okay. Well, that being said, we thank the listening audience. Again, we're going to have our close, but we remind you that your future belongs to you. Master it through masterminding. We invite you to Mastermind with International Masterminds Association. Check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, and continue to be our blog talk a listener. And check out internationalmasterminders.com. Thank you.
Have a good day. Happy Father's Day.
Thank you again. Enjoy it, guys. Did we get a final commercial? Okay. So in these 60 seconds that we have left, it is so my hopes that you have had the information that you needed to begin to seriously think about masterminding your life.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-0 2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302002.
And we're out. Thank you.